You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.
Welcome once again to Line Noise, and we're here once again, in fact, with Quentin Lepoutre. Is that well said?
Yeah, my mum calls me Quentin, no one else, but welcome to the family.
Far better known as Mid, yeah. French house producer, DJ extraordinaire, and many other things, and live musician, as we can sort of see going on in the background. How is the tour going?
Really good, really good. We are kind of the ending part of the European tour right now,
right?
With the Mid Live Experience, which is kind of the way of showing the new album and showcasing the new album live. So I'm really happy with the tour. It's going really well. For the first time, we're traveling with a tour bus, which is pretty exciting and useful.
Is it quite rock and roll, or am I just thinking too much of Led Zeppelin?
It is in a way, because you have all the team after every show, after every party, all together in a big bus where we all sleep. So there is kind of a summer camp vibe, more than rock and roll, but a summer camp can be rock and roll.
Yeah. Why is playing live important to you? I mean, you make electronic music, you also DJ a lot, but why is playing live important?
It's a way to express myself on stage a bit more precisely, I would say. When I'm DJing, I'm mixing my songs, obviously, my remixes, but also other people's music. When I'm playing live, I'm singing, I'm playing, I'm almost composing on stage. So coming and seeing me on stage is like a living, really, it's being closer to me than other, like, it's being closer, yeah.
Right.
And more intimate too. And also having the whole stage there to express myself above music. You will see it tonight, but
right,
with like the whole setup and everything, visuals, lights and everything. It extends a lot of Mid.
Nice.
Yeah.
Maybe you've just answered this. I was going to ask, though, what's the best thing about playing live as opposed to DJing and vice versa?
I think in terms of emotions, when you manage to connect with the audience, it's amazing. Something really simple. When you see a crowd singing with you your own songs, that's something.
Yes,
and it's always a bit emotional. I mean, even like a lot emotional. So that's maybe one of my favorite things. Because you see, when the more and more gigs you're doing and the more the time passes, so the more people listen to the album, the more they know the lyrics of the song and they sing it with me. So that's, you really see an evolution, and that's, I love that.
I mean, it's quite a sing-alongable album, I would say.
I love like melodies, so yeah, I'm doing melodies and I'm writing lyrics that are singable, yeah.
What is the song that people sing along to most?
I would say Song For You from the new album. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they love to sing it, and we have like a setup for this song which looks like kind of a karaoke vibe with the lyrics written on the screens. So
nice.
It's not karaoke, but it can be seen as that.
So we last spoke in 2024. In 2025, you unleashed this brilliant new album we're talking about, Midnight. Where do you think it stands in your catalogue?
What do you mean?
Well, do you think of it as like the light one, the dark one, or do you not think
of it?
Yeah.
Let's say, I would say that the club one.
Right.
But you know, the first album, people say that the summer one,
yeah,
this
yeah.
one is named Midnight, and it's more club, it's more dance, it's faster, the kicks are hitting harder. But for me, it's a natural evolution, because I spent like almost 3 years touring, DJing, mostly in clubs. So for me, that was a natural evolution. But yeah, let's say the first one was lights on, this one is lights off.
Well, it's funny you say that, because it's definitely a nightclub album. But for me, it's also quite sunshiny, I would say, you know?
Yeah, because I am who I am. And when I'm writing, it's like having your own personal font when you write, when you handwrite. It's the same when I'm in studio. I have my own touch, which is always like light and full of sun. I would say.
Yeah. What role do mistakes play in your music?
Mistakes. I think that's the main exciting thing you have to adopt as a musician globally, and maybe as an artist. It's like the mistakes are all around and are part of the creation, and that's what makes your music or your art unique. And you have to, if you're trying to be too perfect, and that's what sometimes arrives, like when you see like people who learn like perfectly music, for example, pianists or like flute players, they are so perfect and they want to be so perfect that they don't really manage to have their own style, their own draw, and their own like charisma in their songs. So you really need, I think, like to create like the accident that makes your music more human and more personal. And that's not in perfection where it's like beautiful art.
And when you're playing live, how much space is there for improvisation and making mistakes? Like?
There is. I mean, if I want to stop the music, if I don't want to sing, if I want to sing quieter or harder, if I want to make a song faster, I can. I mean, I need to be able to adapt to my crowd too, especially as I DJ a lot and I can adapt to my crowd. I needed live to be able to adapt to the crowd too.
Talking of mistakes, we were talking a little bit about this before, but you lost your hard drive weeks before the album was due. What happened?
I lost my hard drive. So that happened, and that was like horrible because, as you know, when you're an artist, you finish your music and then you have to release it and you have plannings. And on this album, I lost the hard drive with like the two last songs that were the songs that were supposed to get released, and I had to finish it again. Fortunately, I had backups, but not with the finished songs.
Right.
But as you may know, the 10 last percent of finishing a song are the worst. It's like when you are by yourself, you are the only one that can take the decisions to say like it's finished or it's not finished. And I had to do that again. And so I was like, where can I find the energy to finish it again? And for me, the most exciting answer was my audience.
Yeah.
Because they were always there to support me and behind me. And so I decided to put 5 cameras in my studio and stay there 24/7 live on Twitch with my audience watching. And we finished the album like that.
24/7?
24/7.
Wow.
Yeah.
And were people kind of really helpful? Were they kind of like, go, come in, go on?
They were really helpful. Supporting, but also there was like a phone line
where
they can call me and give me advice, because the chat on Twitch is like too much of like a text diarrhea.
Play Brazil.
So people call me, and when they call me, there is something more like serious about it. So they called me and they were like, oh, we love this song. Oh, you should maybe try that. And we finished the song all together. Like, that was really beautiful.
So you took on board their suggestions?
Of course. I'm always like open to suggestions globally. And it was also part of the accident. Like, if someone was watching at the right moment and have the right advice. And the rule in studio, rule number one for musician, always try ideas more than say yes or no before trying it.
That's a good rule.
Yeah.
Be Someone New feels a bit to me like a late 80s rave track, which is music I very much
thank
like.
Thank you.
Is that something you listen to?
Yeah, of course. I was really touched by underworld music.
Oh.
So I'm sure it influenced me in this music. And the way I discovered especially UK music was from electronic music that was pop, for example, that was on MTV, to be simple, like Chemical Brothers, Basement Jacks, Fatboy Slim. And little by little, I discovered, because it was less popular in France, I would say, I discovered the more like underground scene. It was not underground, but maybe more the trance music and underworld and everything. And it was more adult to me. And so I'm sure, yeah, it influenced me in a deeper way.
I read that you started The Wizard, one of my favorite songs on the album, as a joke.
I said that.
I think you did.
As a joke.
Okay.
No. When I think I started it and I thought that maybe it was a bit too dark my album, and I went the hardest possible for me on my opinion and for my music. And that's really, really interesting, because I thought that people would freak out about this song being too dark and too like techno in a way. And the funny thing is, like, one of the tracks that people love the most, and that was the most popular in UK, especially.
Yeah,
that was on radio and everything. And I was like, and it's when we were talking about like happy accidents. It's exactly that. Like, I'm doing the darkest music possible with no lyrics, no structure, no chorus, and it's going on the radio. I'm like, yeah, life is beautiful.
Let's talk Todd Edwards. Yeah. Just before we started rolling, we were doing some outrageous Todd Edwards spotting. I said he sounded like an influence on the album.
Yeah. I'm not sure him directly. I'm sure I haven't listened to his music when I was composing, for sure. But he's definitely a legendary link between UK music, electronic music, and French electronic music. So he's maybe the most French touch artist, non-French. So, but yeah, and we definitely took the same ways of making like a UK grooves, romantic, melancholic, and emotional. And yeah, I told you I can tell this again.
Oh, go on.
No, because I contacted him and wanted to fill the room about making a song together, and he's up. But since he told me that, I was like, okay, I need to find the right song for him. Because for me, I would love to have him singing.
He sings well.
He sings so well. He sings really, really well. And he's amazing. He's an amazing DJ and, of course, producer. And I think one of the best remix ever. My favorite remix ever is like a remix from Todd Edwards from Phoenix.
That's what we were Todd Edwards spotting about earlier. Yeah, it's amazing.
If I ever feel better, it's amazing because he's cutting the lyrics, Phoenix lyrics, and making a new sentence with it.
Have you ever tried to do what he does? Like, as in like cutting up things really, really short and putting them back together in a million different ways?
I'm doing that in a way, sampling, but I'm not really interested in like seeing something and trying to do it exactly the same.
Right.
It's not really interesting for me in studio, but and especially for him, from him, it's like so specific.
Yeah.
The way he's arranging chords, and it's like it's his thing. Like it's like for me, it's not. It's like. I'm not in humor, for example. I'm not a big fan of like doing accents. For me, it's a bit the same. It's like if I'm trying to do music like him, it's like doing his Todd Edwards accent in like electronic music. So I'm not a big fan.
What's next for you?
I'm finishing new music now already. I got everything to make music on the road,
right?
Which is pretty new, because most of the time I party a lot and nothing else when I tour. And this time I'm making music at the same time, which is amazing and feels like amazing, because it's always like a bit stressful after a long period of tour to come back and be like, oh, what I do now and what's next? So now I have new music almost ready, and I don't have the date, but it will be out this year, like, of course, on Headbanger Records.
Amazing. thank you so much. I believe you've got to go and soundtrack.
Yeah, exactly.
Sound check. But thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm really happy we're on the stage.
Yes, nice, isn't it? That's your sort of... That's where you go, right? Is that your...
That's where you go. That's your VIP section.
Oh, nice. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.